talk, I'm going to focus on the runoff loss of nutrients, and in particular phosphorus, during the establishment of turf grass on these biosolid amended soils. And if we look at the application of MB to soil, we know that it's going to increase soil water holding capacity, and it can supply nutrients that could improve turf grass growth and quality. It's also known that large increases in soil organic carbon and soil phosphorus and in cation concentrations in these compost amended soils could contribute to non-point source pollution on urban landscapes. So what we needed to do here was look at options for turf grass establishment with and without MB, which is municipal biosolid, a composted municipal biosolid. We need to look at establishment with or without this MB to evaluate potential risk and benefits. So the objectives of this study were to compare the concentration and mass loss of phosphorus among contrasting establishment methods. And the second objective was to rate extractable phosphorus concentrations in the amended soil layer of the establishment treatments to total and dissolved concentrations and mass losses of phosphorus in the surface runoff over seven natural rain events. And here is an illustration of our treatments. And we have seven different treatments with three replications. And what we used here, we used an MB-grown sod, so it was a compost-grown sod, and we used a fertilizer-grown sod. And these sods were transplanted over top compost amended soil and an unamended soil. And then we also had two treatments where we sprigged into amended and unamended soil. So in the first treatment that we've labeled MB sod, MB soil, that's where we have this compost grown sod transplanted over a compost amended soil. The second treatment, we have a fertilizer grown sod transplanted over a compost amended soil. Third treatment was a compost-grown sod transplanted over an unamended soil. The next treatment was a sprig treatment, and that soil was amended with compost. And the following treatment was a sprig soil, and it was unamended. And the following two were fertilizer-grown sods on unamended soil. And what this MB-grown sod, what it is, it's a sod where the sod grower would apply, or in this case we applied compost at a volume-based rate and incorporated that, and then when we harvested the sod, we actually removed a large portion of that applied compost. So when I refer to the MB sod, that's a sod that was produced in this organically amended soil. Quickly some methods. The treatments were established and installed on an 8.5% slope that was excavated from Boonville fine sandy loam, and the treatments were isolated by sheet metal borders. And the soil was sampled at a 0 to 2 centimeter depth and a 0 to 5 centimeter depth for analysis of total P, malic 3P, and water extractable P. And the 0 to 2 centimeter depth was representing the sod layer that we had transplanted onto these soils. A 0 to 5 centimeter depth would represent a sampling through the sod layer into the subsoil. And then the runoff that was collected was, it was channeled into 311 liter tanks, and the volumes were measured, and then we sampled, analyzed the runoff for total and dissolved forms of phosphorus over seven natural rain events. So in this figure, showing the depth of rainfall for our seven rain events. And this is in centimeters for the depth. And you'll notice on the x-axis we have the seven rain events listed. And there's two clusters of rain events that occurred. We had the first cluster in June where we had four rain events over about a week's period. And then in July we had another cluster of rain events that happened back to back to back. So we had four rain events in a cluster in June, and then three rain events in a cluster in July. Next, this is a figure showing the Malic III extractable phosphorus for the treatments. And the treatments are laid out along the x-axis in the same manner that we described them before in the previous slide. And this is showing the concentration of Malic extractable phosphorus in milligrams per kilogram. And what you'll notice here is, the first thing is that the MB-grown sod had the greatest or the highest concentration of malic extractable phosphorus for the 0 to 2 centimeter depth. Now when we sampled from a 0 to 5 centimeter depth, we noticed that when you're sampling through amended and unamended layers, that it would either increase or decrease the concentration depending on the treatment that you were looking at. And so, for example, if we look at the second treatment from the left, it was a fertilizer-grown sod transplanted over a compost-amended soil. In the 0 to 2 centimeter depth, we have a Malic III concentration, I would say around 40 milligrams per kilogram. But if we sample that same treatment from a 0 to 5 centimeter depth, the concentration of malic extractable P jumped up to about 225 milligrams per kilogram. And if we look going the other way for the third treatment there, the compost grown sod transplanted on unamended soil, the malic III extractable phosphorus in the 0 to 2 centimeter depth was over 600 milligrams per kilogram, which is extremely high there. And if we sampled to a 5 centimeter depth, it essentially diluted that concentration, and the concentration at that range was around 250 milligrams per kilogram. And you can see in general the treatments where we had compost in the sod layer or in the subsoil layer, the malic extractable phosphorus was much higher than it was for the controls where we had only fertilizer grown sod in unamended soil. And this is just another figure showing the water extractable phosphorus for those treatments. And again, we have all the same seven treatments laid out in the same order on the x-axis, and we have the water extractable phosphorus in milligrams per kilogram on the y-axis there. And again, it's a similar trend as we've seen for the malic extractable phosphorus, with the main point being the treatments where we had compost and the compost growing sod, we had a lot higher water extractable phosphorus in that 0 to 2 centimeter depth. So if we look at what I've done, I've broken the rain events into the two clusters, and we'll discuss each cluster as a group. And if we look at the first cluster, the June event, we have the four rain events, June 16th through the June 22nd event, listed along the x-axis, and we have the dissolved reactive phosphorus, the DRP, in milligrams per liter on the y-axis. And here what we see is the MB-grown sod increased the runoff concentration of DRP. And what we also see here is if you place the compost or the MB below the sod layer, we were able to reduce the runoff loss of the concentration of DRP in runoff. So the other thing we notice with this graph is that concentration of dissolved reactive phosphorus generally decreased with the subsequent rain events within each cluster. So if we look at the concentration on the first rain event, we're up around 4 milligrams per liter for the first three treatments where we had, especially the two treatments where we had a compost grown sod, and that generally declined down to about 2.5 milligrams per liter when we get to the fourth rain event. And if we look at the concentration for the other treatments where we had either sprigged or fertilizer grown sod in unamended soil, the concentration of DRP in those runoff volumes were generally below 2 milligrams per liter. So next, if we look at the mass loss of DRP in runoff, again we have the four rain events in that June cluster on the x-axis, and we have the mass loss of VRP in milligrams per meter squared on the y-axis. And again, here we see the effect. If we place the compost beneath the sod layer, we're able to reduce mass loss of phosphorus. And we see again the treatments with the compost in the sod layer, or the compost grown sod, we had the greatest mass loss of P. And as with the concentration of DRP, we've seen again that mass loss generally declined with the subsequent rain events within each cluster. Now if we move to the second group of rain events that we had in July, July 3rd through the 5th, which we have listed along from left to right on the x-axis, and we're looking at the dissolved reactive phosphorus in milligrams per liter here. Again, we see that the compost in the sod, the compost grown sod, increased the concentration of DRP in runoff. And again, for that first rain event, we see concentrations in between 3 and some of them over 4 milligrams per liter, whereas for the unamended soil and sprig soils, we had concentrations generally less than 1.5 milligrams per liter. Now, if we move to the fourth and fifth, or the rain events on July 4th and 5th, which was the 6th and 7th rain events of this experiment, if you remember, we had very large rain events. They were big rain events. So on July 4th, that was a 7.5 centimeter rain event. On July 5th, that was a 6.5 centimeter rain event. And we see for those two large rain events, the concentration of dissolved reactive phosphorus dropped below 2 milligrams per liter for those two events. Yet, you have to keep in mind with the large rain event, we had a large volume of runoff. So if we look at the mass loss of dissolved reactive phosphorus for these three rain events for the July cluster, again, we have July 3rd, 4th, and 5th there, and we're looking at the milligrams of dissolved reactive phosphorus per meter squared. And we see for that first rain event on July 3rd, we had a little higher concentration, but we had low runoff volume, so the mass loss was relatively low, and it was similar to what we've seen with the fourth rain event in that June cluster. If we look at the second rain event, we had a large runoff volume with a lower concentration, yet we still had the greatest mass loss. And if we look at the third rain event, we had a large amount of rainfall, large runoff volume, yet the mass loss falling down was about half of what we've seen with the first big rain event. So what that's showing is with subsequent rainfalls, we're not losing a lot of phosphorus even though we had another big rain event. And this here is just showing the mean concentration of dissolved reactive phosphorus, total dissolved phosphorus, and total phosphorus for the 7 rain events when we look at the mean for all 7 events. And again, generally here you see incorporating compost beneath the sod layer reduce the runoff loss or the concentration of phosphorus in runoff. And we look here, we're looking at the mean cumulative mass loss of dissolved reactive phosphorus over 7 rain events. And again, here with the where we had compost grown sod, we had greater mass loss of phosphorus. And what we found was the soil concentration, the concentration of phosphorus near the soil surface, best predicted runoff loss of phosphorus, and the best linear relationship was observed using the 2 centimeter depth going from 0 to 5, we reduced our coefficients. So we had we were best off using a 0 to 2 centimeters sampling depth. And in summary, increasing soil concentration near the surface increased runoff loss of phosphorus. Use of MB grown sod increased the risk of phosphorus loss. Incorporation of compost below sod reduced the risk of phosphorus loss. Phosphorus concentration and mass loss and runoff generally declined with subsequent rainfall for clustered rain events. And the soils used in this study were not capable of sustaining these high concentrations and mass loss of P over consecutive rain events. And so over all rain events, there was a similar trend observed for mass loss of P and the concentration of P in runoff, even though we had variations in rainfall amounts and runoff.